You'll turn your Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, please. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2 in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I want to begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible said, "But we, brethren, having been taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Now may the Lord bless that reading this morning. Let's go to him in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful this morning for the marvelous grace of God. I still, Lord, am amazed at your grace and what it can do in the hearts of unworthy sinners. How, Lord, that you can lift them from the depths of sin and degradation, bring them out of a life of misery and sorrow, give them joy and happiness and peace in their heart. I want to thank you this morning for the suffering that you endured, Lord, for the blood that you shed, that we might know you in the free pardon of sin. I thank you this morning, Lord, for heaven and the truth that we have of that place being ours by inheritance. I thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of God. And thank you for your people, the marathon, the work that was done, the grace, Lord, that was bestowed, the money that was given, everything about it I'm grateful and thankful for. Now, I do pray that you'll provide power this morning to your preacher and liberty and physical strength as well. I pray you'll give divine grace and work in our hearts. Help me, Lord, this morning to do the best that I can do with the grace of God working through me. That is to yield myself entirely to you in full surrender, that the Spirit of God may flow through me this morning to others and impact them by the grace of God and according to your gospel. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated this morning. I want to take our text this morning out of verse number 18. Where our dear brother Paul said, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." But notice these words, "But Satan hindered us." Amen. Satan hindered us. I think this verse come to real life to me, and I'm not going to say a great deal about it. But I think it come to light to me a great deal in the marathon that we just came out of. Our work for the Lord. The ministry that God has given Island Ford Baptist Church. And so I want to preach on this for a little while around these hindrances of the devil, how Satan hinders us, the help that we can get from those hindrances. If you notice by way of introduction, in verse number 17, Paul is here once again. He reveals his great love and affection that he has for these believers in Thessalonica. Now, I want to say to you this morning that God's man ought to love his people. Amen. And if he can't love his people, he ought to leave his people and let somebody come there that can love them. And Paul certainly loved the people at Thessalonica. Amen. And I want to say to you this morning, Brother Hall has learned to love you. I've been with some of you for a number of years. And I love many of you as brothers, actual brothers and sisters in the flesh, much less in the Lord. And then these children, I love them greatly with all of my heart, and I mean that. And God has taught me that. And Paul, even in his absence from these people, his heart reaches out to them. He says there in verse 17, he said, "I was taken from you for a short time," and he said, "in presence, but not in heart." Amen. He said, "My heart was there with you all the time." And a man of God's heart ought to be with his people. Amen. And because the Lord's heart is certainly with us. He loves us. Amen. As Miss Hall sang, that song is not just words. Good. They're words of truth. Amen. and righteousness. God loves us. He loves me. And I'm glad that He loves me. As one preacher said, God loved the world and gave Himself for it. We're grateful for that. The Bible said that God also loved the church and gave Himself for it. But Paul said in Galatians 2:20 that God loved him. And I'm glad that there is a personal relationship between us and our Lord and that God loves us. Now, I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what problems you have. But you can rest assured on this statement that in it all and whatever it may be, that God loves you greatly. God loves you more than you realize this morning. If God loved us while we were sinners and even died for us while we were sinners, how much more shall He love us now that we have become the children of God? So God loves us. Now, the scripture here doesn't tell us which one of Satan's devices that he used to hinder Paul. But it does say that he succeeded at least twice in hindering Paul from going to Thessalonica to be with those people. And I want to say this, Satan can hinder us today. We may have the idea that we've got a great deal of faith and Satan has no power nor influence to hinder us. But I'd say to you without hesitation this morning, if the devil had enough influence and power that he might hinder Paul in his life from accomplishing the will of God, he can certainly hinder you and I in our life from accomplishing the will of God in our life as well. That's why I said in the Sunday school hour that I don't believe that we got all God wanted us to have back there last night. And the reason we didn't is because the devil hindered us in a great way. And I'm going to tell you, he is a master at doing that. He is a master. He's had a lot of experience. And, you know, we need to learn that today about this power that the devil has. And he succeeded at least twice in keeping the apostle from making his journey to Thessalonica. Now, I want to say one more time, if Satan hindered Paul in doing God's will, he can certainly hinder you and I today from accomplishing what God wants us to. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a lot of faith. It takes a whole lot of hope. It takes a whole lot of trust and confidence and a whole lot of crucifying self and living for God to accomplish what God wants in our life. Amen. Now, I could say some things right now, but I'm going to tell you, I don't want to get mean this morning, but I could. And I certainly don't want to, but I really could get mean this morning. I'm not going to. I hope I don't anyway. But I want to mention very briefly just a couple of things about this person that the Bible calls Satan. I want to mention first his personality. That is the fact that he is real. Oh, you know, a lot of people, we say we believe in the devil. We believe in Satan. But I wonder if we really believe in our heart what we're saying with our lips. Do we really believe in this person that the Bible calls the devil? I wonder if we really do. Hey, one of his master moves, one of his great moves of Satan is to get people to believe that there is no such person as the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. The world begins, and he starts doing that. I'll put it like this. He begins doing that in a person's life at a very young age. You may be surprised at how many of your children are convinced that there is no devil. I've never told my children that there's no devil. And I've tried not to tell them that the boogeyman will get them. But I'm going to tell you what I have told them, that there is a person in this world that is called the devil. That old serpent, even Satan. Amen. And he's just as real in this world as what Christ is in this world. He is the adversary of every child of God. He is the adversary of the church. He is the adversary of the home. He is the adversary of righteousness. He is the adversary of holiness. He is the adversary of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will work double time in your life and my life to hinder the work and the will of God from being done that God wants done in our life and in our ministry today. Buddy, you better believe he's real. Now, come on now, stay right with me. He is a real person. Now, there's a threefold confidence, a consequence if Satan is denied in our life. And number one is the account of the temptation and the fall of Adam is a myth. If a person does not believe that Satan is real, then we got to believe that the Genesis account of Satan's temptation of Adam and Eve is a myth and it's not true. But it goes deeper than that. Amen. If it's just a myth and it's not true, then we're still sinners, ladies and gentlemen. We're still sinners. If there was no fall in the garden, if the devil wasn't there in the garden, then we are yet sinners. We're in our sin and on our way to hell without God and without hope. And if the devil can get people to believe that he is not real, I'll guarantee you they will not believe in the account in Genesis about the fall of man, and they will not believe they're sinners. Come on now. I'm telling you, that's one reason. Hey, the world out there, for the most part, you couldn't convince them today that they're a sinner if your life depended upon it. Now, I'm going to tell you why. They don't believe in the devil, and they don't believe in the Bible, and therefore they're sinners. But they don't believe that because they do not believe the Word of God. Come on now. Amen. If we don't believe in that Genesis account, if we believe it's a myth and a fairy tale, I'll tell you we're still sinners. Amen. I won't say number two, and I'm trying to hurry. If a man is not a sinner, then there is no need for the atoning work of Christ. Amen. If man is not a sinner, there was no need for Christ to come into this world. I say it like this: man does not need to be saved. If Adam did not fall, and Adam did not plummet this world into depravity, there's no need of Christ coming into the world. That is exactly right. And man did not need it to be saved. Are you listening to me? But I'm telling you, when Adam fell in the garden, you didn't just fall a little bit. Man became totally depraved. I'm talking about dead in trespasses and sin. You could not get to God. There was no way that a dead man can get to God. Oh, but I'm glad that he made a way that he could come to the dead man. When I could not get to God, he came to where I was, amen, and rescued me from my sin. Amen and amen. That's right. Come on in the house now. Help Brother Hall out a little bit. Y'all loosen up. I'm talking about the personality of Satan. He's real. I'm going to tell you, he's right here this morning. He's everywhere God's people gather together. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. You better believe that. He'd do everything he can do to hinder the preaching, the praying, the praising, and the worship of God. He'll do everything he can do to hinder the teaching of the Word of God. He'll do everything he can to stop the Word of God from finding a place in the hearts of people to increase their faith, amen, and cause them to trust more in the Lord, amen. Amen, that's right. Hallelujah. I'm going to say thirdly, therefore there is no punishment for the sinner. That is, there's no heaven or hell. If Satan is not a personality, man is not a sinner. If man is not a sinner, he didn't need to be saved. And if he doesn't need to be saved, then there's no punishment for the sinner.
There's no heaven, there's no hell. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, everybody believes in heaven or hell. No, they don't. Now, I've had people tell me today, a loving God would not send nobody to hell. They don't believe in hell. That's right. And if man's not a sinner, if the devil is a myth, ladies and gentlemen, then there is no such thing as punishment in hell. But I submit to you that in the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus, that He preached more on hell than He ever preached on heaven. Now I'm telling you, people are dying and going to hell today by multiplied millions, and the church of the Lord Jesus sits idly by and lets the world go on their merry way to hell, and it seems like that we're doing very little about it, and we are unsatisfied of it because the devil has the ability to hinder us in what God wants us to get done for His honor and His glory, and He's doing a good job of it. He's doing a good job of it. His personality. Now I want you to notice the name that is given to this fellow that I'm talking about, this guy that hindered Paul. The Bible, there's two great names given to which our arch enemy is called. Amen. Number one is the devil. He's called the devil. Amen. And that word devil means deceiver. He's a master deceiver. Amen. Buddy, he can put on 1,000 faces. Amen. He can transform himself into an angel of light. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He is a master deceiver in this world today. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9. And the great dragon that was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which, listen now, deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I don't know why I wrote this down, but I wrote this down this morning. Do you know when the Lord, after the Lord was crucified and was placed in that tomb, do you know what those Pharisees went to Pilate and said, they said, seal that tomb. And here's why they said that. They said, for we remember what that deceiver said while he was yet alive. Do you realize this morning that they considered our Lord Jesus Christ as the devil? They called him a deceiver, and that is a word. For the devil is deceiver. They called him a devil. They blasphemed our great God. Amen. They did. They blasphemed our great God. But what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that he is a deceiver this morning. And he has deceived sinners this morning into believing that there is no devil, that there is no heaven, that there is no hell, that there is no judgment, and they're just going to live a little while and die, and things are going to be all over. But I'm telling you, it ain't going to turn out that way. Man that dies without Christ is going to spend eternity in hell without God and without any hope, ladies and gentlemen. He's got people deceived in believing that'll never happen. That'll never happen. You better believe he has. He's a master deceiver. Now, I'll say something else about that in just a minute. Then that other word is Satan. And that word means accuser. That word means accuser. And it said in the next verse in Revelation 12:10, it said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Day and night. He accuses you and I before God. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, well, that don't mean much. No, it don't if you don't believe the Bible. That tells me day and night he is forever before God. accusing you and I of every little error and every little mistake that we make. He stands before God, accusing us before God. Look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. But oh, I'm so glad that I have an advocate at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He might accuse us of this and that, but every time He accuses us of that, I'm glad Jesus stands up, our mediator, our intercessor, and says, hey, my blood has atoned for that sin in that life. Amen. But I want you to listen carefully. I believe the devil works and influences people here on this earth to accuse one another. That's why the Bible talks about us being false accusers of the brethren. The devil influencing. That's right. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of that going on today. Accusing our brethren falsely and wrongly. And I'm going to tell you, the devil's behind every bit of it. Satan's behind every bit of it. He is a deceiver. But he's also an accuser of the brethren before God. But he will also accuse brethren before brethren.
Amen.
If you can get a hold of that. Now, you listen carefully. I'll get into the message here in just a minute. I'm still in the introduction. I will say, as the devil, his work is destructive.
Amen.
As the devil, he tries to destroy. Listen what the Bible says. In Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he said in verse 9, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. How destructive. How destructive that would have been if Christ would have fell down and worshiped him. But I want you to get a hold of this now, what I'm getting ready to tell you. The devil will do his best to destroy individuals. I've seen it happen over and over and over in my ministry. That he'll get a hold of a person in their life. And friend, he will utterly destroy them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He'll destroy them in their life. You better believe he will.
Amen.
Devil is a destructive individual.
Amen.
And he will destroy individual people in their life. Amen and amen.
Amen.
He'll not only destroy individuals, he'll destroy churches.
Amen.
He'll destroy families.
Amen.
He'll destroy anything he can get, anywhere he can get his foot in the door. He is a destroyer.
Amen.
And he'll destroy people.
Amen.
He'll destroy churches. And he'll destroy homes if he gets the opportunity to do that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He'll curl up in your mind and feed you lies, one right after another.
Amen.
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 He'll tell you things that's not true, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute.
Amen.
And he will, because he's a liar and the father of lies.
Amen.
Everything that he says is a stinking lie.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever he tells you, just don't believe it, because he's a liar.
Amen.
I've said that time and time again. He's just a liar. Amen. And he'll crawl up in your mind, buddy, and tell you a thousand things. And before you realize it, you'll get to believe in everything that he's telling you.
Amen.
Even if it's about somebody else or about you. And I'm going to tell you, he'll get you to believe in bad about you.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
He gets in your mind and
Amen.
Gets you feeling bad about you. He can take you down a path that will eventually destroy your Christian life for God. You'll end up being absolutely worthless in the ministry of Christ. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again in my Christian life. I could take you to some illustrations in the Bible where I really believe that it happened. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Joab. And he had one characteristic that stands out in my mind. Every time you just about read about Joab, he's stabbing somebody under the fifth rib. That's right. He's putting that knife under the fifth rib of somebody. And some of those people were people that David had planned to put in power in his place. Now somebody said, what was going on? I'm going to tell you what was going on. The devil was working. Can you get a hold of this morning? I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. Had it not been for Joab, Absalom would have never come home from exile. Had Absalom never come home from exile, there would never have been an insurrection against David's authority.
Amen.
Amen. Things would have been a whole lot better for David. But you know who brought him home? Joab. And if Joab hadn't have been so subtle and deceptive as he was, well, he walked up and called Amasa, brother, and said, is it well? Is it well, brother? And took him by the beard. And at the same time, put that knife under the fifth rib. Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying he works to destroy individuals. He works to destroy families. And he works to destroy churches. Amen. Now, you better believe I'm telling it right. And he'll do it if he gets a chance. Now, I'm getting ready to describe him in just a minute. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Because he's around. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's got you and I duped this morning. We don't really believe he's around and working. We don't believe he's alive and working in our midst. But I'm telling you, I've seen it more on this marathon than I've ever seen before in my life. Hey, and it ain't stopped yet. And it will not be stopped until it's taken care of.
Amen.
Brother Doug Thompson, say, come on in the house, boys and girls. Amen. Now, as Satan, his work is obstructive. That is, he obstructs things. He obstructs us in the work of God, in our worship and in our praise, or he hinders us in that. He hinders us in seeing Christ in all of his glory. He works that way to obstruct our view of Christ, to obstruct our view of the work of God, to obstruct our view of worship and praise in the house of God. While we come to church, there's no need in getting too excited about God. I don't need to get excited. Why? That's what the devil tell you. Why do we want to let our emotions get involved in this thing? Well, you let them get involved in everything else.
Amen.
You let your emotions get involved in everything else. Why can't we let our emotions get involved in God?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what the problem is. He has obstructed our view of the glory of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, yes, I know I'm telling you right this morning. God needs to open our blinded eyes, move the devil out of the way, that we might see Christ this morning, high and lifted up and sitting on a throne full of power, full of grace, full of glory. And that glory and grace belongs to you and I because it's His for the ours for the asking.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. That's right. He don't want you worshiping Him. Devil don't you want you worshiping Jesus. He don't want you to learn anything about God. Amen. Come on now. Now listen carefully. How did Satan hinder us? Well, I won't say number one, but designing false imaginations against us. By designing false imaginations against us. Buddy, I'm telling you, he's good at this too. Just like those sorcerers and magicians down in Egypt.
Amen.
When God sent Moses and Aaron back down into Egypt and commanded them to go in before Pharaoh, and Aaron cast that rod down before Pharaoh and said it became a serpent. Pharaoh called his wise men, these sorcerers and magicians. They did the same in their little enchantments. If you know the difference, Moses, Aaron had the rod of God. But the Egyptians had enchantments. They had enchantments. Oh, somebody said, I don't believe in that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I believe in enchantments, witchcraft, and the devil. Amen. You better believe I do. They come in with their little enchantments and cast them down. Every man his rod. And they became a serpent. But there was a difference there. Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so he attempts to make us believe things that cannot be. He attempts to make us believe things that cannot be. Are you listening? What do you think? What do you think Pharaoh had those? What do you think Pharaoh had those magicians to cast down their little enchantments? They turned into snakes. Do you think they were really snakes? He tried to make them believe in something that was not there. He's got enchantments, ladies and gentlemen. And if he can make you and I believe in things that are not really there, and he'll attempt to do that, that are not real, they're not real. Come on in the house now. And I knew it was going to be rough this morning. Anytime you try to reveal the devil to people, he don't want that to happen. He don't want people to understand who he is and the deceptive power that he has in working in their life. Oh, and he wouldn't have us to admit it for $1 million. That it's really happening.
Amen.
But when them fellas sowed down their little enchantments, Aaron's rod just swallowed them up alive.
Amen.
And what he was trying to do, he attempted to make Aaron and Moses believe in something that cannot be.
Amen.
Now, number one, that his power in life and death are equal to the Lord's. He said, they throw down their snake, I'll throw down mine. And what he wants to make you to believe that life and death, in life and death, he's just as powerful as what God is.
Come on, preacher,
tell it. That, come on now. He's got some people so scared that they're going to die. Who was that fellow that was so afraid, had all that money out there in Las Vegas? Chuck might know who I'm talking about. Had all that money out in Las Vegas. Might have been Chuck. I don't know. I hope it wasn't. Amen. But this multimillionaire wouldn't come out of his room. He stayed locked up in a room all the time. He's afraid he's going to get sick and die. Hughes, ain't that his name? Howard Hughes. Afraid he'd get a sickness and die. Wouldn't come out of his room at all. Afraid he'd get sick. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly the way some people are about the devil. They're afraid of the power of Satan.
Amen.
And he's got them believing that he's got equal power with God. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. He does not have equal power with God. He is just a puppet in the hands of our God to accomplish God's will in this world. You better believe that.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he'll scare you and I half to death. But son, he's no match for our elder brother. No, sir. I've told this story before. Some of y'all's new in here ain't never heard it. But when I was going to school, there's two boys in school, John and Freddie Tone. And man, I tell you, them guys made it rough on me. Every time I turned around, they was teaming up on me and whooping the daylights out of me. And I mean, they just beat me up all the time. And one day we was going to school, and I got off the school bus. I noticed, and my brother went off before I did, my older brother. He just stepped around the corner and put his finger up to his mouth like that. And I walked on off the bus. When I walked off, one of them tone boys walked off and said, "Hey, Gary, come here." He said, "I got something for you this morning." My brother said, "No, I got something for you." Boom, son. And I'm going to tell you, hey, that ended it right there, folks.
Amen.
Hey, you know why? I had an elder brother that stepped in and took my place. But with a power that had greater power than what I had. I'm telling you that Christ has got greater power than what the devil's got this morning. He may have us deceived in believing that he is as powerful as God, but he ain't got that power. He don't have that power, not in life or not in death. He'll make you believe he'll kill you. He did me on the airplane more than once.
Amen.
That time we flew to Mexico, boy, I'm telling you, I scared to death. I told Miss Hall, we got up in that airplane heading down to it. I said, honey, I got to go to the bathroom. And I walked back in the back. And she was supposed to be the one afraid to fly. And I got in that bathroom in the tail end of that airplane, and it started hitting some air pockets. And that airplane started doing this. And there I stand back there in the back bathroom doing this. That airplane up and down there. So I open the door to come out, and I'm coming up the highway, and the lights is going, and finally I sat down. And when I finally sat down and buckled myself in, Miss Hall reached over and patted me on the hand and said, it'll be all right, sweetheart. You know why? Hey, the devil had me believing I was going to die, friend. You think, somebody said, I don't believe he's got that. Now, he may not work on some of you like that. But I'm going to tell you, he does on me. Then we landed in Houston, got on an airplane as long as from here to McDonald's, I believe it was. Sat down way back in the back of it. And we were sitting there, and here come these two ragheads. And sat down right behind me and Mrs. Hall. I said, oh, God help us. I said, he's got us for sure now. That airplane pulled out on that runway. You know how they said it? I mean, it just went. Then when he turned loose of that brake, down that runway it went. Didn't get very far in the road, won't you? I said, what's going on? And we started slowing down. And the captain said, ladies and gentlemen, said, we've got a little problem. Said one of our red light indicator lights come on. Said it indicates that we've got a mechanical malfunction on the plane somewhere. But said, we think all it is the light. And we're going to taxi back up and come down and try it again. I said, that's it. That is it. But they headed down that runway again. Sure enough, he lifted off. I said, I knew it. This is all over now, buddy. We're not going to make it to Mac Allen. This is all she wrote. But we did. We made it to Mac Allen. But when we started coming in, that plane hit that runway. He must still have been running 980 mile an hour. So I'm telling you, I was looking out there and thinking out there, just and all at once, he reversed them engine. You guys, my wife, that plane started going, and it shook so bad, it started shaking me down out of the seat. I said, God, it's going to break up right here on the runway. I'm going to die right here after I got here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Satan may not. I said that to get your attention. Now, I'm telling you, the devil, hey, he may not have that kind of power and sway over you. But I'm telling you, he is a sorry rascal. Amen. And I guarantee you, if he can, he'll tell you he has got power over your life and over death. But I'm telling you that life and death are in the hands of God. Amen. Woo! I read coming back from that trip in Psalm 31 where he said, my times are in thy hands. Amen. Buddy, I like to shout at that airplane down in my heart. Hallelujah to God. When I read that my times, that is a time for everything in my life, is in God's hand. Woo! Amen. That not only means life and death, that means everything in between. Amen. My time, your time, are in God's hand. But the devil will try to make you believe that he has got power over life and over death. And he'll try to make you believe it's just as equal with God. But I'm telling you, it's not. Amen. Now, you listen very carefully. You'll listen very carefully. Aaron's rod swallowed up the magician's rod, and that death was swallowed up in victory. Amen. Just a false imagination. That's all it was just a false imagination. And that's what it is when Satan gets in our mind like that. It's just a false imagination. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to drive you off the brink. I'm going to cause everything bad to happen in your life. And God hates you. And therefore, he'll never do anything to help you. That's the devil. God hates you. Therefore, he'll never do anything to help you. He knows. still are. God does love us. God does want us to have victory in our life. God does want us blessed in our life. God does want us to have joy in our life. God does want us to be happy in our life. God does want us to have the power of God in our life. Amen. God does want us to enjoy the life that we're living. God does want us to have abundant life. God does want us to be holy. God does want us to be righteous. God does want us to have fellowship. Devil will tell you he don't want you to have any of that. Are you listening? Now he'll devise mischief against you and I. He'll devise mischief against us. You remember in chapter 4 of the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah went back to rebuild the walls there in Jerusalem, and here come an old fellow by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah, enemies of God. And when they came, they began to disgrace Nehemiah concerning the wall that he was building. And he'll do the same thing to you and I. He'll speak evil about your work and your accomplishments for Christ. What you're doing, he'll tell you what you're doing is not important. And you're not accomplishing nothing for God. Won't you just quit? And what little bit you are doing will never amount to anything. Are you listening to me this morning? That's what Tobias and Sanballat told Nehemiah. That is exactly right. He told them, if a fox went up on that little old wall, it'd fall down. Doing his best to disgrace the work that they were doing for God. Now I'm going to tell you what. You know what he told some of you? I'm going to tell you what he told some of you last night. What we're doing for God back there, hey, it's over! That hit the nail on the head. We're done! God failed us! No, God didn't fail us. We failed God!
Amen.
And we let the devil dupe us! You listen to what I'm telling you. If he can get your mind focused, the devil can get our minds focused on him rather than being focused on God, we're in trouble. If he can hinder us in such a way that we're thinking more about him than we are thinking about God, we're in trouble. Who'd you come to church thinking about this morning? Jesus? Or the devil and your problems? Now, here's what he done. He tried his best to dishearten them by mocking them. He said, what do these feeble Jews? In other words, he'll try to pull your heart right out of you. He'll try to reach in you and pull your heart completely out of you. Somebody said, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean this. If we cannot put our heart in what we're doing for God, we might as well quit. Hey, and if we're not putting our heart into it, it's because the devil has got somehow and pulled our very heart, that is our spirit, out of us. We don't have a spirit anymore for the work of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We don't have a spirit anymore for the work of God at Island Ford Baptist Church. Now, I'm going to say some things I hope don't make anybody mad. But I'm just telling you, before the next radio marathon, there's going to be some changes made back there. Number one, I'm tired of all the noise. In both rooms, children and men alike, I'm tired of looking in that room in there where the phones are and seeing those ladies doing this to try to hear because of all the screaming and hollering and commotion. You know what? Hey, we're not back there praying. Ladies, you're not back there praying. And I'll get on them in just a minute. You're not back there praying. That's what I said. Hey, we've let the devil dupe us.
Amen.
Well, we've got the idea. Hey, it's always come in. It'll just come in anyway, regardless of what we do. I'm telling you what's happened. The devil has caused us to believe that. That is, hey, nothing depends on us. God will do it or God won't do it. And I'm telling you, if we don't want God to do it, God won't do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That men's room as well. We're not in there to chit-chat and fellowship.
Amen.
We're in there to pray and seek the face of God.
Amen.
And we're not in there to carry on with a bunch of tomfoolery and stupidity and ignorance. And when people are up in those microphones trying to talk and raise money, you need to keep your tail end away from them microphones where people all around the country can hear everything you're saying.
Amen.
And besides that, you don't understand how that roars in somebody's head when they're trying to concentrate. They can't concentrate.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
I'm talking about changing some things, friend.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't like it. I really don't care if you like it or not. It'll tear your heart out. Take your spirit away from you.
Amen.
Now you listen carefully. He said, will they sacrifice? That is, will they worship?
Amen.
Will they really worship? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps? Can they really revive it? You know what people out there are saying today? And I know everybody out there is listening to everything I'm saying. But you know what some people out there are saying today? Reckon they'll ever revive it? It may surprise you at the Baptists that are out there today with really hoping that we'll fail. Oh, Brother Hall, surely not. You better wake up, neighbor. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. They out there can like it, lump it, hump it, bump it, jump it, dump it, bump it. I could give a flip less anymore. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, if you're not for me, you are against me. If you're not for me, you are against me. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people want to get in on the honey. But they don't want to fight the bees to get it. You'll catch that after a while by slow freight. That's right. Amen. They want a rich garden, but they won't have to be the one spreading the manure to make the garden grow.
That's right.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 And you'd be amazed. I could name you church after Baptist church after Baptist church around here. Some of them have never given us a dime on the ministry. But they listen. Somebody said, well, you better hush, they'll hear you. So what? They ain't doing anything anyway. Somebody said, are you saying they're the devil? I'll let you be the judge of that. And them too. Them too. Come on in the house, folks. I'm just simply saying that I'm vexed in my soul with lying preachers.
Amen, amen.
Up to here. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'm vexed up to here with lying preachers.
Amen.
And I've fought it ever since I've been in Madisonville, and I don't know why. It's been a 22-year-long ordeal with somebody in this area.
Amen.
And don't seem to be getting any better. Seems like the devil will let one of them will sit down, the devil will raise up another one.
Amen.
Somebody said, I wouldn't say that. That's why God called me to preach and not you.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you something. There ain't a man in this world that I'm afraid of, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
As long as I'm right with God. And I'm going to tell you, with what I've done, I can stand before God with a clear conscience today.
Amen.
Today. Now, will they revive the stones? 22 years ago when I come here, the church said, everybody out there says, we're done. Said, we believe it. Said, we'll have a January marathon and we're selling the radio station. But January marathon, 22 years ago, raised more money than we raised last night.
Amen.
You know what the church said? We can't let her go now. I said, you've already let her go, bud.
Amen.
But God worked it out. Well, we didn't have to let it go. I could run my head, bless God, through a dozen walls. Through the past 22 years, He's kept us going!
Amen.
Why do we want to believe the devil and doubt God now for it? Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, we're not looking to man for blessings. Thank God that the benefits flow through men. But I'm telling you, we're looking to God. Somebody said, watching God do. He's got a way of putting a man between a rock and a hard spot, amen, and getting into his pocketbook.
Amen.
Now listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. He'll draw attention to himself.
Amen.
You better. I'm getting very, very weary of people in our churches that always draw attention to themselves. When nothing else is going on, they're going on. And they're drawing attention to themselves. And I'm going to tell you what, buddy. You get in a church service. I've been preaching a little while. I didn't start yesterday. You get in a church service, and an individual in the church gets everybody thinking about them. You're not thinking about Jesus. You're not thinking about the songs you're singing. You're not thinking about the prayer that was prayed. You're not thinking about worshiping God. You're thinking about what's going on around you. And what's happening is your attention is being drawn to them and drawn away from Christ. Now, I know I'm right. I've been preaching a while. Didn't start yesterday. I've seen it, Sam, too many times. They had an old saying down when I went through, down in Greenville, them Carolina preachers, they had a way of saying, oh, so-and-so can't shout unless the match is struck on his box. That is, they got to be the ones getting it going, you know what I'm saying, or they can't do no shouting about it. Come on in the house now. Somebody said, where are you at? I know where I'm at. If you don't, you're dumb. Now, he distracts us by offering. Come on now, listen. He distracts us by offering what he cannot produce. What he cannot produce. He told the Lord in that wilderness temptation, he saith unto him, he said, hey, fall down and worship me, and all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Hey. They weren't his to give.
Amen.
He could not give all those things to the Lord. I said this to Brother Gation there last night. I told you, and I'm going to say it again. The devil had lost his sovereignty in heaven.
Amen.
His sovereignty was gone. He couldn't rule in heaven. He knew that. He had been ousted and was in the earth. That's why he took the Lord up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all these will I give you, and the glory of them, if you'll fall down and worship me. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you what. He'll offer people fame and fortune, finances and friends. He'll offer them everything under the sun to draw them away from Christ. But it'll never happen. He'll promise you that which he cannot give. He'll promise you the moon. You know what? The devil reminds me of a good politician. He'll promise everybody a new car in the garage and Junior a bicycle on the wall of the garage. But I'm going to tell you, nothing ever comes about. I'll give you a stimulus of stimuluses that will really stimulate. And so far, there ain't nothing been stimulated but hot blood. Politicians. And they're all alike. Come on now, help Brother Hall. He offered him the world and its glory. It wasn't his to offer. He offers possessions that bring recognition. Are you listening to me? He'll offer people something that'll bring recognition in their life. That's why I want you to listen. I'm not talking about these men in our church. But I'm telling you, Brother Herford, there's a whole lot of men that claim today they're called to preach. They ain't had a bit more of a call on their life than a billy goat's got. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? He's promised them a possession that they can't have. They might fill the role, but the possession's not theirs because God didn't give it to them. They're all over the country today, buddy. If they two, three things I know I'm saved, I know I'm called, and I know God brought me here.
Amen.
Period. And I know God gave me my wife.
Amen.
Amen. A first look, boys, is all over. My heart melted.
Amen.
That's right. Still melts when I look at it, Brother Rick. I was sitting in there the other day and looked through that window, and she winked at me, and I fell plumb out of the chair. After 43 years, she still got my heart.
Amen. Amen.
Makes this old man feel young.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the devil, hey, he'll offer us worldly possessions that bring recognition. You'd be surprised at men standing here that all they want is to be recognized. They want a name. And some of them have gotten that name. But that's all they have is a name. They don't have anything to go with it. They have no power with God and they have no power with men. And their ministries is a fluke and a fake and a failure. Now, I'll tell you something else he'll do. He'll try to hinder you by discouraging you concerning God's will. Old dear brother Paul had a thorn in his flesh. He besought the Lord three times, the Bible said, for it, that it might depart. But the Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
Now, Paul thought, surely, when he got that thorn, surely this can't be the will of God. I can't function the way that I feel like I need to function with this thorn in my side, whatever it was. Satan's messenger to buffet me.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. You can believe whatever you want to believe. It said Satan's messenger to buffet me. And I believe that's exactly what it was. I don't believe it was an it or a thing. I believe it was a person.
Amen.
Satan's messenger to buffet me. In other words, to vex me. To aggravate me, to keep me out of sorts. Paul said, I cannot concentrate on what I'm doing with all that going on. But what he failed to realize, that in his weakness, he became strong. Bible says so. When we can get Paul out of the way, and it takes a lot of overcoming when the devil's in your face.
Amen.
To get Paul out of your way and concentrate on the Lord. It takes a whole lot of grace to get that done. But Jesus promised him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll take care of it.
Right.
I'll give you the grace to handle the situation.
Right.
And he will. But I bet there ain't a discouraged soul in here this morning. Not a one. Nobody discouraged about what God's will is for your life and what you're doing. I'm telling you, we better try to get them little peepers to our heart opened up. And realize what God's will is for our life and get in that will and stay in that will.
Amen.
Amen. And these folks will try to outguess God. Surely this cannot be God's will for my life, doing what I'm doing. Well, why are you doing it? If it's not God's will, do something else. How many times have we heard people here say the word, well, I don't believe it's God's will for me to be here anymore. Well, you think I'm preaching on, Brother Jerome? The last time that happened, that family, and I'm not mentioning no names, they're in total and absolute chaos right now. And the man stood right there. Said, I know what Brother Hall preached and he was right. I know what the Bible says. But... and today's in a mess. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that the devil will discourage you about his will. I want to say this to you. I heard a preacher say this probably 4 or 5 years ago and I thought it'll never happen. Brother Herford, I said it'll never happen. But here's what he said. He said, there may come a day in our Baptist churches where people will have to travel 50 and 60 miles one way just to come to church to find a church that's preaching the Word of God truthfully. I said, oh, I said to myself, I don't believe that'll ever happen. But I'm going to tell you, I believe it's going to happen. If you really want to find God in your life and live for God, I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
You want someplace that really does its best to preach to you the Word of God and love you and fellowship with you and help you, I believe it's going to happen. There may come a day when we have to meet at 11 o'clock and have one service and go home and forget about the day.
Amen.
People drive too far to drive backwards and forwards. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't. That really discouraged me. Not if it's God's will.
Amen.
Not if it's God's will. Not if it's God's will.
Amen.
Now, He'll do His best to discourage you concerning your will for His life. And I've heard Him say this. Oh, Hall preaches too hard, boy. Ain't no way I could stand to go up there to church. You know what I tell you? A lot of you ain't never heard it. Oh, Hall, it might be hard to live by, but it'll be good to die by.
Amen.
Right, preacher.
Amen, preacher.
You'll be glad somebody told you straight like it was, like it is. Now, I'm not talking about browbeating, and I'm not talking about jumping up and down on top of somebody, picking on somebody, browbeating somebody. I'm talking about getting in that Bible and preaching that Bible like it is.
Amen.
Amen. You'll be glad somebody, hey, I don't have to beat up on people for God's sake. There's enough Bible to do that to me and you both. Why would I want to do it? God can do it Himself. I don't have to. I'm trying to learn that. I don't have to. God can do it Himself.
Amen.
That's right. You'd be surprised what people go home with in their conscience. Their conscience eventually get them.
Amen.
Then I say, lastly, by deceiving us with His lies.
Amen.
Somebody said, does He really do that?
Yes, sir.
Well, He told Eve, said, won't you take a big bite? She said, oh, I can't do that.
Satan said, well, why not? She said, well, said the Lord God, said we could eat every fruit of every tree, but said the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, said in the day that we eat that, we're going to die. The devil said, you shall not surely die. God knows the day you eat that, you'll become as gods like Him, be one like Him. He lied to them. And I'm going to tell you, they said, you know what He's telling some of you young people in here right now? Why don't you listen to me? He's telling some of you young people in here right now, I'm still young. I got a long time. I'll make it when I get older, when I get a little older and get my youth behind me and have my little fling, I'll take care of things. And there's other things more important. I'm going to tell you young people something right now. There's nothing any more important than serving God, living for God right now. You just keep under oath. I'm going to tell you, you listen to one of His lies, you'll listen to another one of His lies. You listen to two lies, you'll listen to three lies. And it won't be long till you'll be listening to all His lies. Then it won't be long till you'll be stretched out dead and in a body in a coffin and your soul in hell without God and without hope. He'll lie to you, friend. He'll deceive you with lies.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And He'll get right up in your face and tell you how much He loves you. And all the time, He don't love you at all. He knows the closer He can get to you, the more damage He can do. Now, I couldn't do much damage to Brother Rick down up on that platform, but if I get down here, you know, the old Fifth River routine, you know what I'm saying? He'll draw close to you. He'll discourage you. And deceive you by telling you lies. He's real. He's real. And we better believe, hey, as a church, we better believe that.
Amen.
Hey, and I said that, I said all that to say this. He hindered Paul.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, we're not Paul.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you what happened back there the last 3 days.
Right.
Satan hindered us. You get your mind running in another direction, you're not going to accomplish the will of God in your life. Let's stand together.